G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Vision 180.
Live different.
Different.
How you going? What have you been up to?
I'm doing great, thank you. I've been mostly just working on new music and working on content. We had a music video that dropped a little bit ago, so just been promoting that, and then just got back from a show as well last week.
Oh, wow. Are you doing a big tour at the moment?
I'm working on it, so it kind of picks up in March. We'll have February to kind of prepare to get ready to go on the road, and then from the first week of March onwards, we'll be doing shows.
It's so good to be getting back into touring again after everything kind of slowed down over COVID. It's so nice to see people in 2023 starting to kick off their tours. It's awesome.
Absolutely. No, it's definitely something I was excited to do. I mean, one of my favorite parts is being in and around the people who listen to the music. So It's good to be back out there, especially on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, and especially with a new album out as well. There is so much to talk to you about. You touched on your new single, so let's talk about that one, Oxygen. Now, leading up to the release of this single, you started posting these really cryptic series on your Facebook and Instagram, like dealers need oxygen, killers need oxygen. Can you tell us a little bit about the whole thought process behind that and how that was received?
Yeah, for sure. I've been praying about, okay, God, how do you want me to build up to this video without giving anything away from the video? Because the video in and of itself, which we'll probably talk about, is also a little bit controversial, and I didn't want to give anything away. And I was praying about it, and I remember because I was in the studio and I walked outside and just kind of climbed up this staircase to a platform where you can kind of see the city. And I was just standing there and I heard this phrase, strippers need oxygen. I was like, what? Wait a minute. Where are we going with this? And I was praying about it. I kind of tied it together that no matter who you are, where you come from, what you look like, what your background is, all of us as human beings are tied together by our need for oxygen. That's something that we can all relate on. It's fundamental. I don't care who you are. You need oxygen. Mm. And in the same sense, I believe that you need Jesus of Nazareth just as much. And so it's tying those two together where, you know, we're kind of unifying people in the fact that it's funny because it was almost like a social experiment. People were writing articles about it because in the comments, it was interesting to see who was the most offended at which post. Because I did all sorts of people. But there were some that were just very, you know, people would get angry and they're arguing. And it's like as believers, you know, why are we so intense and so quick to judge when all of us need Jesus just as much as the next? So that was kind of the heart behind the rollout and then building up the storyline to like, hey, everyone needs oxygen, and then releasing the video right after that.
Wow. I did find that interesting that a lot of people, it was kind of a trigger for certain people, what you said. I was like, oh, okay. Especially as Christians, like we're called to love everyone, no matter who they are and what they believe.
I think that there's a lot of people, you know, who are afraid to represent Christianity, even though they know Jesus is the answer, because there's a lot of people who are very loud about doing it the wrong way. I used to be afraid of representing Jesus publicly because I was like, well, I don't want to get lumped in with, you know, all of these kinds of people who make it look bad. And I felt convicted, like, if I don't like how people are wearing the jersey, I've got to show them how to, wear it the right way. Mm. So I've been focused on it since, like, well, not everybody is going to be loving. Not everybody is going to be accepting. Not everybody's going to be like Jesus, but I can try and publicly show, you know, the world like, hey, this is what it actually means to follow Jesus. And my prayer is other people are inspired to do so as well.
Yeah. And can I just say, it is so awesome to see a Christian artist being authentic, especially in this day and age where a lot of Christians are being silenced for our beliefs in certain things that go completely against the mainstream. And there's not a lot of Christians that are standing up and saying it like it is. So thank you so much for that. And thank you for your music. It's such a breath of fresh air. It really is. A breath of oxygen.
Hey, come on. God did a lot of work in me to move me out of the way. I'm far from perfect. I'm a broken human being who's trying to figure this out. And God uses me as a vessel. That's the only way that I'm able to be authentic is because I don't have anything to lose. I mean, even now, this weekend, we're going to start working on you know, content, talking through different things that I've been walking through. And it's like the brokenness or the authenticity is what can help somebody. You know, we have stories only we can tell and the gifts only we can give. Your survival is proof to someone else they can make it. So if you hide your stories and you try to present this perfect front, then the things that God had you live through, which were to help somebody else, now they're for no reason. You just took away the value of your struggle if you never talk about it.
Ah, come on. So good. So tell us about Oxygen. How did that actual song come about?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's right along the subject line. It was, you know, something I was struggling with. I was kind of in this season right before 2021 of being, you know, unable to release music, unable to go on the road in the same way, you know, kind of the wrong team at the time. I was out of answers. I felt completely stuck financially, relationally, you know, in my friend groups, in my business, in my career, my ministry, my music, like everything was at a complete hold, and there's no clues about what's next. There's no cue like, okay, what's around the corner? And I was kind of at this deadlock of, I have no idea what the future holds. And, you know, what do I do here? And I really felt like giving up. There's been multiple times like that in my career where it's just, you know, you don't know what the future holds and it's hard to trust God. But I kind of made that decision. I was sitting on the floor in my room after praying, and I wrote the song Oxygen because I made a decision. You know what? I need you. If I can't have the answers on anything else, I've decided to be content and just say that I need you. You're my oxygen. And I'm sorry for all the times that I doubt you. You know, that's, I put that in the chorus because I feel like a lot of times he's shown me that he's faithful, and then I go right back to being worried or right back to stressing. And, you know, it's like the Israelites in the Old Testament, like, we laugh like, oh man, God just gave you manna. You know, he gave you sky bread, and you're over here like, what's he going to do next? And it's like, he does the same thing in our lives. And Oxygen came from a place of saying, you know what, you're all I need. And then to the point of, your stories have importance, God uses them, because I embraced what I was walking through at that time. Now I'm on the other side of it. And that's what the testimony is. If somebody can hear that song and be like, dang, I'm walking through this right now, I know that I just need to choose God. But they can see in my life that he does bring you through. That valley is never permanent. So that's kind of the way that it was written. And it's funny because it didn't end up going into the studio until the end of 2021.
Really? And,
you know, we're going to release a video soon that kind of has a small clip of when we created it. And it's funny because I knew the chords and I had it from so long ago. And I wasn't planning on using it in the studio session. I was like, hey, let's just work on this. And it all kind of fell into place from there.
And you touched on your film clip being quite controversial at the moment. And I watched it last night and I love it. It's so good. It's so creative. It's also quite dark. Can you tell us about that? With like the, is it a sheet? I'm trying to figure out what you actually use, where he's kind of like trying to get out. It's kind of Stranger Things vibes, but it's so good. Tell me a little bit about the thought process behind that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's funny. Go read the comments on my Instagram and my YouTube. Again.
Be interesting to see what people write about that.
There's a lot of really interesting feedback. I feel like my target audience, you know, the zealots, the people who bought into what we do, they get it. There's a lot of people who don't. But, you know, I said to somebody earlier that if I was called to please man, I couldn't be a servant of Christ. I was talking to my homie about it, like, hey, look, like, isn't it interesting? You know, if somebody who's secular does something remotely, God will have a fanfare for it. We'll be excited, like, oh, wow, like, you know, of course, because they're coming home or like they're finding God. We get excited, even if it's, you know, not all the way like clean or whatever. We're still getting excited about them getting closer. But when a believer does something to try and reach the world, it's immediately criticism, and they switch. I've got people in my comments saying that I'm doing blood rituals, that I'm satanic.
Oh, gosh.
When I responded to that with a verse, they said about Jesus that it was by the prince of demons that he drove out demons. They said he must have made a pact with Satan in order to do what he does. And I just remind people, you know, you'll know a tree by its fruit. The heart behind the video, which we're going to release literally today, we're releasing a behind the scenes of Oxygen, so people get some more context. They're going to see, oh, okay, that's hot blood. Oh, there's their take. Like, some of the mystery goes away a little bit, so hopefully they feel like, oh, that now. But the meaning, I was praying about it, same thing. And God showed me this image of me standing on blood with nothing in the background. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of edgy. Like, is this just for me and my time with you, or is this for the video? And I felt like it was for the video. And what I realized, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you stand on my sacrifice. And the reason why I'm standing in the blood, and the reason why I'm suffocating, you know, under that the white cloth, and the reason why I'm like breathing in the blood, is because we wanted visual representation of you're almost suffocating, you're almost dying, you're drowning without this one solution. Because that's how I felt when I wrote the song. I felt like I was drowning. I felt like I have no clarity on what's next in my life. I don't want to sink back into depression. I don't want to get stuck here. So I'm choosing to desperately breathe you in. And that's that, you know, the breathing into the blood, and my head goes back, and it's like you're chasing it. And standing in the blood and it covering me is that idea. And you notice there's nothing in the background. It's just a black room, because that is it. In that moment, all that I have left is the blood. All that I have left is Jesus's sacrifice. And I've dealt with, you know, self-hatred and shame and frustration, feeling like I should be doing better. I should be doing better. And I had to realize that Jesus's sacrifice is enough. What he did is enough. And in order for me to embrace it, I wanted to have a visual representation of my struggle with that. You know, is it enough? You know what? It's enough. And that's all I need. And you know, what's interesting is a lot of people ask me, well, how come you didn't have a moment where the light shined through and, you know, you break out of the cloth, or, well, everything is happily ever after. I had people ask me that.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, man, that's the one thing. And multiple people ask me that. And it's like, well, look, that's not always how it is, though.
Yeah.
Like, my life, God will sustain me. Gives me daily bread. I'm completely free through Jesus. You want to watch a celebration video? Go watch Jesus Call My Name. I'm dancing over by the beach and just worshiping God like David danced. You know, like you want to see some joy, go there. But this video is to represent that sometimes it's just a checkpoint. Mm. Sometimes he reminds you, you're still in this valley, but I'm all you need.
It's real. It's authentic. I love it. Oh, so good. Stonebrook Project is also such a great album. It's so emotional. Can you tell us about, well, a bit about this album, and where did you get the inspiration for this, for the word, the Stonebrook Project? Why did you call your album that?
Yeah, another cool story. I was just in an airport at Charlotte. I was in line, and I feel like God speaks to me a lot when I'm just receiving. You know, where I'm not trying to be the source, but I'm allowing him to be the source. And I heard this phrase, the Stonebrook Project, and I wasn't sure why I felt like I was supposed to use it. I just wrote it down, like, okay, maybe that's going to be an album title. And then later, I started writing some songs. I was like, oh, maybe this would be what I call the album. But I wasn't sure why. Well, later, I was in the Nashville airport in Tennessee, and I felt like God was just saying, I was sitting across from my dad, and I felt like God was saying, like, hey, you need to go to Detroit. You need to work with this producer, iProject, and you need to make music with him. And I looked up at dad and I was like, I need to go to Detroit this weekend and like make music. And we just kind of like last minute, you know, took the risk and made it happen.
Wow.
And when I got there, we got in the room and I started with the first song in the album, Let Your Fire Fall, which was like just everything I'd been wanting to say over the years of silence, of not being able to release music, of waiting on, you know, my calling. And it started there. And then as I was listening back to it, I started to realize, like, song after song, as we kept creating in this, you know, we were in the studio 52 hours over 3 days, and made the whole album. And I started to realize, oh, shoot, this is the Stonebrook Project. And then I opened up my Bible, and the story that God drew me to was when the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land, when they took stones from the brook and built an altar and said, let the world see what God has done for us so far. And I realized every one of those songs was a stone in the altar. Every one of those songs was something he had brought me through, like oxygen, you know. And I wanted to let the album be an altar. And if you look on the cover, there's handwriting on it, which is from my journal. I heard the Holy Spirit say, build me an altar and call it Stonebrook. And that's on the cover art of the album. And it's on the merch. It's on the hat. You know, it's on the hoodies. And build me an altar and call it Stonebrook is the phrase that tied the album together. And I believe that it was my opportunity to use things that I'd walked through to build an altar for the Most High. And at concerts, we say the world will know the God we follow. So my prayer is people will see this music and hear it, and then they'll be inspired to follow the Lord through it.
Wow. Did you say you put the whole album together in 52 hours?
Yeah, it was, I mean, the mixing took much longer than that and what? Stuff, but the actual song's creation was in a 3-day window.
That's crazy.
So it was about, yeah, it was wild. I mean, it was one of those moments where me and my boy iProject, who is the producer on a lot of the songs, we just kind of, we hit our stride and we had the momentum. And then there was a couple other songs that had come from the, you know, season of waiting beforehand. I had like, I think three of them that were already kind of done that we added on, but everything was done in that window. And it was wild too, because we were there, like we were treating it like a job. Like we would just wake up in the morning, go grab some Tim Hortons coffee, and then go to the studio. And then we would just be there from like 8 a.m. till like 1 a.m.
Wow.
Grind it up.
Oh, that brings back, we lived in Canada for a couple of years and we were first introduced to Tim Hortons there. And oh, Canadians love, hey, they love it. Know. They love it. It's so funny.
I was up in Michigan and they get a lot of the Canadian stuff. So I had Tim Hortons every day while we were there.
So anyway, and it, hot chocolates were only like a dollar. We're here, they're like $6, $7. So we were like, woo. That was so funny.
How long were you up in Canada?
We lived in Whistler for 2 years.
Yeah, I said I've only been in Canada, I think, once or twice. I'm trying to do shows there sometime. I got to come out to Australia and do shows.
Oh, heck yes, you do. Oh, that would be amazing. You got to.
I'm with it.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, you're
so
in Nashville.
I'm from Tampa,
yep.
In Florida.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm staying out in Nashville these days.
Yeah, nice. With all the other Christian artists.
For real. It feels like that. But, you know, I stayed in Atlanta for a couple months and I've just been traveling a lot recently for shows. I was just in New York last weekend, so just kind of moving around.
Yeah, nice. Thing. So you've celebrated 6 weeks at number one on the Hot Chart with Jesus Called My Name. It's one of our favorites on V180. We play this all the time. Can you tell us a little bit about how that song came about?
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys showing love, by the way. Thank you for your support. It's such a big blessing. The story behind that one, I don't know if you're familiar with who Reinhard Bonnke is.
Evangelist. Yeah.
So we had, he has this video on YouTube, Legacy of Harvest, and it's kind of the documentation of his life. And I was actually at, one of the back rooms of my church. They were letting me use it as a studio. And me and my brother and a couple of friends were in that room with our studio setups. We kind of had like two or three folding tables in there with all of our speakers and our computers on them. And we're just like creative, making music. And we had the Reinhard Bonnke Legacy of Harvest playing in the background. And there's this scene where all of the people who are at his rally, I think it was hundreds of thousands of people in one place, start saying the name of Jesus over and over. And we all kind of stopped what we were doing and started to get emotional. I think I started crying pretty much right away. You could just feel the sincerity, the hunger for the Lord. And then I kind of started talking about like, the world will know the God we follow. Kind of, we need to bring that here. How do we get our generation to start here in the U.S. where I'm living to feel the same way, to rally to the cause? And I started playing those chords that you hear in the beginning after the string part's over. And I was just playing it and I was like, no, you know, kind of how songwriting happens, like just getting the melody. And I realized, like, not only are they calling Jesus' name in this moment, but he called us first. And I started thinking through my journey walking with him, and that's how it came about. Literally just in that moment, we wrote it, and then we ended up recording that whole second half of it. We were at in a little room at my friend's house where I was staying at the time. We recorded the whole bridge. It was free worship. The original vocals are on the back half. We literally had been worshiping, like playing worship songs. And we started recording. I just said, hey, turn on the mic. And the audio quality is not that great on the actual vocal recording. Shout out Johnny Grande, who mixed it and made it sound professional. Made it sound amazing. I just felt like, yo, we need to keep this original audio because there's an anointing on it. And so that whole bridge wasn't written that, you know, you don't have to choose this, but you still do. You don't have to move. You know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. That was all freestyle in the moment, just worshiping. And there's a couple songs that have like kind of not the best vocal quality, but we recorded them in a room somewhere after worshiping or crying out to God. And I just wanted to keep the authenticity of the project, when we put it out. So.
Do you incorporate freestyle into a lot of your songs? I know you did that with I'm Sorry as well. Do you
I love that you know that. Well, I appreciate it. That happened a couple times on the album. I know that happened on My Soul, where I had this like rap that I've written forever ago, and then the beat started playing, and I just kind of like went with it. That happened on Guide My Steps, too. I was actually asleep in the studio, and I was locked out, and then I woke up, and I heard this beat playing, and I was like, we got to do another song, don't we? Either like, yeah. And I was like, okay, God, give me an idea. And I looked down at the producer's shoes, and I was like, Guide My Steps, right, left. As I walk through the shadow of death. And so I got in the booth, and that phone call, I don't know if you heard Guide My Steps or not on the album, but my mom actually called me. And then I was on the mic, and I said, hey, Mom, I got to go. I'm in the booth. And she's like, you don't have to call me back. Love you. I hung up and then just recorded the whole thing in a one take. So that's all. That's authentic. That's real. I don't know. I feel like sometimes
you're insane. Sometimes that's so cool.
Can be too stagnant. Like I feel like there should be elements, especially my generation. Like a lot of our favorite artists and people that we're inspired by in mainstream move a lot off of the feeling and just like creating. You know, that rock star lifestyle. So I'm trying to incorporate that in my music and in my content. It's just like, look, I can do the same thing, but God is my source. And So I feel like that's the direction we're going in general. That's why freestyling and or even just kind of going with the vibes will happen a lot. Because it feels more authentic, you know, and it works great at concerts because people actually feel it.
Some of the lyrics in Jesus Called My Name, I'm just going to read them out. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was stuck in all my habits, stuck in all my ways. Escapism, I was trying to kill the pain. I was disassociated from the world around me, feeling like I'm isolated, sick of my surroundings. I feel like a lot of people, especially over COVID, are feeling that. And even now we're searching for that escapism to try and numb the pain. When you're in that dark place, how did God help you? How did he get you out of that dark depression, anxiety kind of stage?
Yeah, I think one of the things that he helped me with a lot, I actually recently just got this tatted broken glass on my arm, because there's this phrase that he brought to my mind, break the mirror. Break the mirror. The reason why is because I noticed that a lot of my depression and anxiety and the struggles that I was having was because my worry and my worldview was centered around myself. I was thinking about how am I going to be affected in the future? How's my life going to turn out? Am I enough? You know, I don't like this about me. I don't like this. You know, I don't feel, you know, I have purpose or whatever. Just feeling like so much of this heaviness. But if you can turn to God and become a vessel and say, okay, what's your will? And then you can care about others. How do I serve? How do I, you know, the whole reason I'm creating music is somewhere there's a younger version of me and he needs this music. You know, there's somebody who needs my specific story and my specific sound. I felt those feelings really heavily, whether it was through COVID, whether it was when I was off the road and I wasn't able to do shows, you know, even before that. Even recently, there's times where it tries to creep back when you feel a lack of purpose, when you feel overwhelmed. The key is to embrace the fact that this is not our home and that you want to seek God's will and discipline yourself. It's not about what feels good. Depression is real and anxiety is real, but it's so real that you need a solution bigger than you. You're not going to be able to ever be the answer. You've got to find that answer through Jesus. That's why I'm so adamant about being clear about who I follow, because I tried other answers. You know, when I didn't want to surrender and give my life to Jesus, I tried other things to escape or to medicate it or to, you know, stop it. And Jesus is the only thing that works, because we're supposed to be connected in him in relationship. Depression is you realizing something's off and you're not quite sure where to start on how to change it. I mean, you start to feel this sinking feeling of like, I don't like where I'm at right now, or I feel stuck, or I feel overwhelmed. And the only solution is to move out of the way. That's why that song's on the album, Move Me Out of the Way, was a prayer I prayed during those times as well. Just like, God, I'm so in the way right now of everything you're calling me to. Move me out of the way so I can hear your will and serve my purpose.
Wow. Oh, got goosebumps. So powerful. What advice or do you have any Bible verses that's kind of stuck with you through those times that has helped you?
Yeah, I have a couple. I got a lot of tattoos now, so I just recently got some more. Psalm 21, 1-7, which is basically a verse that encouraged me a lot. Growing up, like I remember that kind of group of verses blessing me, even from like, I was like 7 years old, I think the first time I read it. And it was before I kind of went through my journey of, you know, walking away from the Lord and like trying to figure stuff out. But that one was the overall gist of it is like, if the king trusts in the Lord, then he will not be shaken. You know, that God is going to give the king a crown and riches and health and prosperity and blessing. And the key to all of that is just seeking God and putting him first. And then the other one is Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, which starts like this. Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, he called me. In my mother's womb, he spoke my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, and in the shadow of his hand, he hid me. And that's encouraged me because it feels like my calling. I'm inspired by the idea that like we are shaped and created to speak certain things and to do certain things while we're on this planet. And if I don't have purpose, I'm dying. Like, I need somewhere to pour into and to feel like I'm going in a direction, even if that's just getting closer to God, whatever the season is. So I think those two would be standouts. People will ask me sometimes when I'm signing stuff, hey, could you write your favorite verses as well? And those are usually the ones I write down. One that I like recently is Zechariah 3:7 as well. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge in my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. When he says these standing here, God is talking to Zechariah, and he's talking about the throne room. Zechariah is drawn up in a throne room in this vision with God, with the angels, with the, you know, in his presence. And basically God has given him an ultimatum. He's saying, look, if you choose to follow me and put me first, I'll give you direct access to those standing here. And I believe he's saying the same thing to all of us. Are you going to put me first? I'll give you access to the throne room. So we make throne room music because I believe we're trying to put God first so we can make songs that are directly inspired by him.
Yeah, come on. So good. How do you, like, you must get a lot of controversy and a lot of pushback, especially in this day and age, and especially in America. How do you keep in the word and keep your faith fresh every day?
It can be difficult to not get so busy doing things for God that you forget to do things with God. I made it a priority. Stephen Covey in his time management, books and programs and stuff talks about this idea of big rocks, where like if you have a jar and you're filling it with rocks, you don't put the little rocks first and the medium rocks, because then there's no room for the big rocks. You got to put the big rocks in and the little and medium ones kind of sift in and fill in the gaps. But you have to start with your big rocks. So in life, you got to decide, what are my big rocks? What are my non-negotiables that need to happen? And I just had to reprioritize. I was talking to a friend about this the other day, making sure your big rocks are time with God, you know, and then the other things that you know you need. So for me, it's like, you know, making sure that I'm exercising, making sure that I'm reading, making sure that I'm, you know, working on my career, making sure that I'm spending time with family, or, you know, like just what are your big rocks and then building around those. So there's times where I didn't prioritize it, but I feel it. Like if you go a few days and you haven't spent time seeking God, it starts to pile up and you're making decisions off of your will and you're making decisions off of your very best skill that you can do. And then like, I don't know, you can ride off, especially if you're a talented person, you can ride off your skill and your talent for a while, but it always mess you up and like stress you out and leave you empty. So I find, you know what, it's just a smarter play to try and tap in with God. Even if I have to say no to other things, I'm working on making sure that it's a priority all the time. I'm not perfect, though. I want it to be even more consistent in my life, but right now it's daily.
So cool. So before we go, we'll wrap it up. What's next for Zaunty? What are you up to this year?
Consistency. I'm zoned in on releasing a lot of music, putting out a lot of content, doing a lot of shows. I feel like 2022, building towards the Stoneburg project, was because that was kind of the first project with my new team, building my new process, you know, stepping into a new season. Now that I've figured all of it out, I've learned, you know, I've watched the game film and figured out, okay, this is how we need to do this. This is how we need to do this. And God has given me the process. Now I just want to keep stepping up and taking the next right step. So my goal is to just like continue to give as much new music and as many concerts and as much interaction as much as I can. I don't want any of this to die with me. You know, if God gives us stories and he gives us songs and he gives us opportunities, like it's our job to get it to people. And that can be scary because the insecurity or the fear of failure can try and get in the way. You know, will it look dumb if I'm doing all of this and some of it fails and some of it succeeds? And, you know, what if, you know, so-and-so is critical or what if they don't like it? And I'm just learning like that, none of that matters. All that matters is you find out what God wants you to do and then you do it. You know, Noah built the ark. Like, what does God want from you? It's your responsibility to be faithful with that. Don't bury it. Don't die with it. We need you. And that's what I'm trying to do in my life as well.
Mm. And maybe add a little trip to Australia in there as well.
Hey, I'm telling you, you got an opportunity. You guys want to make it happen. Let's go.
I'll do my best. I'll work my contacts. And how can we follow you for those in Australia that don't get to go to your gigs? How can we be in touch with Zaunty and follow what you're up to?
I would say, of course, on all socials, especially Instagram and TikTok right now, at Zaunty, Twitter as well. Everything's spelled the same, Zaunteee, my website, zaunty.com. Now, all of it's the same across the board, Spotify, YouTube, all that. But one thing that we're going to start soon, you guys are the first to know this, but we're going to start making it very interactive on what drops, you know, based on like people giving their feedback and responses, because I'm doing this for you guys. So when we're posting unreleased stuff on Instagram and TikTok, if you really want to stay updated, stay tuned every day. Just kind of come back and check, because there'll be new unreleased songs that'll start popping up and you guys' interaction will decide, you know, kind of what comes out next. So that's kind of something we're excited about, you know, it's something we've never done before, but I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Looking forward to it too. Zaunty, honestly, thank you so much for your time. It's been such a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you for your time as well. I appreciate it.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.